Good morning, it is good to be with you for worship this morning. Before we get started, I have a few announcements that I'd like to make. First, I want to remind everyone that our Passover Seder meal will happen on Maundy Thursday of Holy Week. That's March 24th at 6 p.m. right here in the Worship Center. It requires reservations for everybody. 0 to 4, eat free. 5 to 12 are $5, and adults are $10. Please see Alice Wallace to purchase your tickets. I think we're over halfway there at this point, so they're going fast. We still have a couple weeks to go, but see Alice for tickets. Also, after Holy Week is over, the marriage course will be offered for 8 weeks on Thursday evenings from 6 to 8:30, beginning March 31st, concluding on May 19th. My wife, Lenora, and I are very excited to be leading this course. We took it a couple of years ago. Really enjoyed it. Even the happiest of marriages can get better. So if you don't think you need it, you probably do. But wanted to let you know we have a table set up in the back. It's representative of what the tables look like. It's a date night experience. There's some information cards back there, or Lenora or I will be back there to answer any questions that you have. But would love to see you join us for that. And then finally, you probably noticed the bed outside. That's for the Family Promise second annual bed race, which is happening on Saturday, April 2nd at 10 a.m. or there 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. at Santa Fe's track. It was a really fun event last year. There's a parade of beds. There's the bed races. There's bounce house, face painting, all kinds of things for people of all ages. The youth made that Star Wars-themed bed for our Trinity team this year, and Lenora Russo will be riding as Princess Leia. And so it's going to be really fun. We hope that you'll come out and join us for that great event for a great cause. So those are the announcements that I have. Time now for a mission box. I'd like to invite up James Schrader from Newberry Christian School to share with us this morning.
Thank you guys so much for having us. I'm actually the principal and the founder with my board of Newberry Christian Community School. This is our second year, our third year in existence, and we were actually at Westwood Hills Church of God renting from them, and the old Trinity's building, which is now the Vineyards Church, opened up for sale, and that was a wonderful opportunity. We got it under contract, and we're in the process of closing. We are supposed to close by the end of March, but it looks like we'll have to delay the closing another month. The Lord has blessed us as a school to be able to actually get together our down payment, and we're very close, and as it says on the slide, we're actually within $100,000 of closing, which is a huge accomplishment for a school this young. Our goal is to glorify God in ministering to all types of students from all different backgrounds, and so when Debbie and I partnered, that was something that we were really into, was no matter what, we are going to try to glorify God in having a community of students that represents the entire city of Gainesville. So that's our heart. That's our mission. I'm going to let a few people talk real quick this morning, so I'll let Dave go first.
Good morning, everybody. We chose Newberry Christian Community School for our son because we offered just the perfect Christian environment for him. And as soon as he started, his big brother wanted to go because he saw what a great education he was getting. So one followed the other pretty quickly. Then when our older boy started, he'd already accepted Christ as Savior, been baptized, but he came to a much better understanding of what his faith meant because of the witness of the teacher, and we really appreciated that opportunity for him.
Hi, I'm Chris Ann Pickard. I'm also on the board, my husband and I. We've been with Mr. Schrader and Mrs. Kaysen since the very beginning, and the reason our family has stayed with Newberry Christian Community School is because they do such a wonderful job of squishing together the kids' home life, church life, and school life to give them the support that they need to not only have academic successes, but also to grow spiritually.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Rob Carr. This is normally our service. Myra and I are members here at Trinity. We were out at the lake for a couple years. Myra's actually in seminary. She's preaching in Micanopy this weekend. But I just wanted to say that Trinity and Newberry Christian have a lot in common. When we came to Trinity, Miss Jean Evans, Miss Elizabeth, they opened the door for us. When we went to Newberry Christian, James and Miss Kaysen did the same thing. We have a girl with special needs. Our little girl has Down syndrome. She's a cheerleader at Newberry Christian. It's just a flourishing environment there. And it's a very diverse environment, and we just appreciate y'all can partner with Newberry Christian. It'd be a good thing. And we're in the process of putting our stepping one step into the Jordan River. So thank you.
Thank you. And I think for my 3 years at Trinity, this is a record for the representation for Mission Box. So thank you all for coming and representing your school this morning. And so please, let's partner with Newberry Christian School. You can do so at any of the five Mission Box locations as you leave this morning. Of course, you can also prayerfully support their efforts as well for this important ministry. So thanks, guys. And that is our announcement. That is our Mission Box. Time now for this tradition that we have here at Trinity. We hope that everyone who comes to our church feels this way. Welcome home. Why are we here? Let us worship God together.
Please stand and join me in this call to worship. Jesus said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. You are our hope, O Lord. We praise you and bless your holy name.
Welcome living water. is the one true love incarnate, Christ who suffered in our place. Jesus died and rose for many, that we may know God by grace. Let us sing for joy and gladness, sing what our God has done. Praise the one redeeming glory, praise the one who makes us one.
And while we are standing, let us declare our faith together using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Please be seated.
We have an opportunity to go to God with our joys and our concerns. I don't know if we have. There we go. There's the slide of those who are up there. I just wanted to mention Chris Cruz to you. He's actually not a member. He's from Claremont. He was referred to us. He is a young 21-year-old who experienced burns on 65% of his body at a bonfire. And so we are holding him in prayer. He cannot have visitors yet, but please lift up his name in prayer regularly. The family could use it, as well as all those who are listed. But let's go to God with all of our cares and concerns. I'm going to use the litany for the church and the world today for our prayer time. And as I say, Lord, in your mercy, your response is, hear our prayer. Let us pray. God Almighty, grant that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy, guide the people of this land and of all nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy, give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy, bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as Christ loved us. Lord, in your mercy, comfort and heal all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, we commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled, and we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, we offer all of these prayers to Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And let us say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those
hold on one second. One of the wonderful ministries in this church is Stephen Ministry. Stephen Ministry is an extension of the pastoral care ministry of the church, so that if any one of you or anybody is going through a valley or a tough time and need somebody to kind of be a good listener, come alongside you, these persons who will, would you come up front now, who are coming up now, have just been through a 50-some hours of training, and it's outstanding. It's a long-time ministry in this church, 25, 30 years, and each year we have a new group of people who are really wonderful, and if you'd like to get the training, you can do that. I think we'll have another group next fall. So, but I want to introduce you, Ann Mercer, Carol Ramirez, Nancy Wash, Joyce Pearson, Steve Upshaw, Linda, you got this on the right side so I can see your name today, Linda Galloway, Darlene Hinkle, and Jay Schnetto, and it's really, really, really wonderful, and Lynn Cunningham and Kay Walker are people who, hey, if you've ever been in Stephen Ministry, if you've ever done it, would you just raise your hand? Okay, lots of you have done this. It's a great ministry, and like I said, just call one of the pastors or Lynn Cunningham. We'll put you in touch if you're going through, or if you know somebody else is going through a tough time. I'd like to offer this prayer for you all. God, thank you for these persons who stepped forward, taken this training, and are going to extend this ministry of caring in ways even beyond what they can imagine. Sustain them as they rely on you and on each other, and multiply their ministry for the work of your kingdom here on earth. We bless you and thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you just say a word of thanks to these folks? Thank you, Ann. Yeah. You can have a seat now. Now, Susan Covey, bring your wonderful dancers to the front. We're blessed to have Susan lead our dancing ministry. In fact, this summer, you'll see in the bulletin, it fills up quickly. If you know somebody who wants to be a part of the dance camp in July, you'll want to be a part of that with them. Thank you.
everyone. Jesus, I need you. I need your love. Save my life.
You know, it's going to take them a while to get out. So why don't you stand and turn to somebody you didn't come to church with and give them a shake of the hand or a hug. Greet the people around you, would you? Yeah.
I'd like to invite our ushers forward. We're going to continue our worship service with our offering time, and as they come forward, I will pray. God of all abundance, who has given us not only breath, but every gift that we enjoy in life, we take this opportunity to give back to you out of all that you have blessed us with. May you use these resources, these tithes, and these offerings to further your kingdom. And we lay before you our very lives. Use all of us, Lord, and transform us from the inside outward to proclaim your truth and your love in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Chancel Choir. Well, it's good to be back with you. One of you started calling me the Phantom Preacher. I'm back. Jan and I are back. It's good to be with you. I want to talk through the scripture this morning and then go into the sermon. And the scriptures, the title is I Am the Bread of Life. We're looking at these I Am statements of Jesus. And the scriptures from John chapter 6. This is well into the ministry of Jesus. He's well known. He's got huge crowds that are following him. And before I get to the text, I'd like to pull up the map of that area. And if you look way towards the top, at the very top is a small lake, and then you have the Jordan River, and then you have the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias, the Tiberias Sea. And just to the right, your right of the, which would be the west of the Jordan River, above the Sea of Galilee, right on the Sea of Galilee, you maybe can make out the word Capernaum. And that's the center of Jesus. Nazareth is just up over the hill. Capernaum is the center of Jesus' ministry, where he healed Peter's mother-in-law there in Capernaum and spoke in the synagogue. And word spread all around Galilee about this amazing person, the miraculous things he was doing. And in our text, they're going to go across to the town of Bethsaida on the other side of the Jordan River. And I think you can see that word up there. And we know from John chapter 1, verse 44, that Philip, Andrew, and Peter are residents. I mean, they grew up in Bethsaida, so they're from that town. So just to give you a little perspective, so let's look at the text now. And like I said, I'm not just read it, but I'm going to talk it through. After this, after all that went before this, Jesus went across the Galilee Sea, that is the Tiberias Sea. And a large crowd followed him because they had seen the miraculous signs that he had done among the sick. So Jesus went up on a mountain and sat there with his disciples. What was happening here was, you know, word spreads like wildfire about this person. So they left everything and followed after him. And they didn't even think about bringing anything to eat. It was nearly time for Passover, the Jewish festival. Passover is a big image in John's mind and certainly in the life of Jesus. And in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, in the book of Exodus, you have, remember that Passover, they're getting ready to leave Egypt. They put the blood over the doorpost. They have the Passover meal. They go through the Red Sea, and then they eat manna from heaven. And in this text, John chapter 6, you have the same sort of scenario. You have this feeding of a meal. And then, surprising to me, is Jesus walking on the water. But that's in John's way of connecting with the going through the Red Sea. And then explaining the bread from heaven. So he references the Passover. Jesus looked up and saw this large crowd coming toward him, and he asked Philip. He said, Philip, you're from around here. Where will we buy food to feed these people? Philip said, or Jesus said this to test him, for he already knew what he was going to do. And Philip replied, more than a half year's salary worth of food wouldn't be enough for each person to have even a little bit. One of his disciples, Andrew, also from Bethsaida, Simon's Peter, brother said, a youth here has five barley loaves. Now, barley in that period of time was the poor man's bread. It was less expensive, less valuable than wheat bread or other kinds of bread. Barley bread was for the poorer people. So this child came from a poor family. When we studied this on Wednesday, one of the persons said, hey, I bet that boy saw that there was a big crowd coming and he was going to make some money on the side. Might be, I don't know. At any rate, because it would be a lot of bread for him to eat for his own lunch, and two fish, probably a little pickled fish. But what good is that for a crowd like this? Andrew asked. And Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass there. They sat down, about 5,000 of them. And then Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to those who were sitting there. He did the same with the fish, each getting as much as they wanted. That is to say, they were completely satisfied, is what the Greek says. They were full. And when they had plenty to eat, he said to his disciples, gather up the leftover pieces so that nothing will be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of five barley loaves that had been left over by those who had eaten. When the people saw that he had done a miraculous sign, they said, this is truly the prophet who is coming into the world. May God add his blessing to this reading of God's holy word. Today, what I want to do is highlight something that's been striking to me, and that Jesus, and you know this, but Jesus uses very tangible things in his sermons, in his speeches. He talks about fish. I'll make you fishers of men and women. He talks about bread. He's the bread of life. He talks about a sower who went out to sow seed. Some fell on hard ground and different kinds of ground. He talks about trees, fig trees. Jeremiah talks about almond trees. He talks about the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, each time making a spiritual point. And we're going to look at that today. All morning, Franny and her team have been baking bread. And the bread is a little different today. And you'll see loaves of bread up here to highlight, I'm the bread of life. 2 weeks ago, David Dodge was here. Many of you remember David. David was on the staff at Trinity for 17 years. Then he went on to the conference and has done outstanding leadership. He came back, as several people have done, who've been colleagues. Jane Huffman Pierce is coming this coming Wednesday. And David, I wasn't here. I was in Nigeria. And David took that opportunity to poke a little fun at me. Some of you were there on Wednesday night. He talked about how poor a fisherman I was. And the fact that we have a picture that he showed of me catching that. You see that really, 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 really tiny fish there? And David rubbed it in because he took a laser pointer and just sort of circled that in case nobody could see how tiny that fish was. Now, I just got to tell you, David photoshopped that picture in there because the real fish is like this one here in the next slide. What's so funny? No, really, I mean, I had a heck of a time pulling that fish in. So Jesus has this affinity with creation, doesn't he? And he talks about fish and trees and vines and branches and seed and soil. And it shouldn't surprise us that there's this kinship between Jesus and creation. John tells us in his prologue, the very beginning of John's gospel, in the beginning was the Word, Logos, Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word dwelt among us. He also says, through him all things were made, and nothing, without him nothing was made that has been made. So when you're out in creation and you feel your spirits lifted, that's because you're in tune with God who poured himself into creation. And so he talks about fish and fishers of men and women. In chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5 of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, he says, don't worry. Consider the lilies of the field or the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, and yet God cares for them. How much more will he care for you this year, for Stepping Stones? Stepping Stones is one of the best things going on here at Trinity. In fact, the enrollment is full, overflowing. In fact, they open up next fall. They open up for members who are already in Stepping Stones, and then they open up to the church membership, and then they open up to the public. And this year, when they opened up to the public, people came at 5:30 in the morning to sit in chairs out here to be in line to sign up. That's your Stepping Stone program. Really excited. This year, their emphasis is God's big backyard. And as God would have it, I mean, they do what Jesus did. As God would have it, we've got something going on right out here by this playground. The first picture you'll see now is this owl is out there. And this owl, or if it's a he, it's his partner. I can't tell from that picture if it's a male or a female. Maybe Jack Brown could, but anyway. They've had a little baby owl named Lily. They named it Lily. I think the next slide will show that. Yeah. Yeah. And that Lily, I don't know when that was taken. I think a couple weeks ago. Lily's 3 or 4 weeks old now. And I think we have another picture. And when I showed that to Jack Brown, who was head of the Santa Fe Zoo, he said, yeah, that's the mom, because the mom would be on the nest. The dad would not be on the nest, so they're there together. And then a couple more pictures. The next one is Lily trying to get up over the fence. And then I think the last one. Yeah. So you can imagine the children out there. And when Jan Banks took me out there, it was just like Jesus explaining to me. She said, now you see up there about 30 feet high, and they're disguised pretty well. And I looked and I saw Lily, the the now fairly sizable baby owl. And then about 15 more feet up there, behind her and above her, was one of the parents, mother or father, I don't know. And you could just sense what was going on. That parent owl was up there being sentinel, protector over their child from the hawks that circle around this place and would fight it off. And you could just hear the teacher saying to the children, consider the birds of the air, how they protect one another, and how God is protector of us. Isn't that glorious? And then the trees. Of course, this congregation, this church has lots of beautiful trees. But I want you to think about when you go outside today, when you look over that way, you'll see that tree. You know that tree I'm talking about? It's leaning just like this. And you know how heavy the end of the tree can be. I mean, it's weighted down. I've been reflecting on that tree for years. And when I heard 2 years ago, we had a storm come through here and we lost the trees in the back. And they said we lost some in front of the worship center. I was sure that tree had gone over. It was the trees beside it. That one stayed there. And the spiritual lesson I learned from that, or I'm taking that, is people that I know and you know and some and you, and I'm thinking of people who've been pioneers in this church who over time have been over, but their roots are so strong. Their parents, who some days will have the weight of the world on their shoulders, but they've got this reservoir of rootage. Somehow that tree stays up. And somehow you and I stay up. Because the roots can go deep. And you and I want that deep reservoir of God's strength. Let me just encourage you wherever you are around this. Or I remember Lenora's devotional this past Friday. She says this, we must be awake and present in the moment to see the sacred that surrounds us. And according to the Talmud, the Jewish law and commentary, we'll bring that up, Stan. I love this phrase. Every blade of grass has its own angel bending over it, whispering, grow, grow. Or as Barbara Brown Taylor reminds us in this quote from the philosopher Paul Woodruff. He says this, reverence is the virtue that keeps people from trying to act like gods. Wouldn't it be great if our politicians would read that again? Did I really say that? Oh. Let me just say it once more, Stan. Could I just go back to that? Reverence is the virtue. Well, in all fairness, not just politicians, all of us. Reverence is the virtue that keeps us from trying to act like gods. And then the follow-up, an irreverent soul who is unable to feel awe in the presence of things higher than himself or in the presence of God is also unable to feel respect in the presence of things it sees as lower than himself. Isn't that priceless? And so, hence, Jesus, who had amazing respect for the God who was in the Trinity, Godhead with him, had infinite respect for all who could be perceived as lower than he. And so, fish, bread, trees, and our birds and trees, and now we come to bread. For special occasions, Jan and I will go to the upper crust. Try not to eat too much that's there. We'll order a backhead of rosemary bread. It's just great. If you've not tried it, you ought to get some rosemary bread. They have two choices. One is a long one and one's a short one. Over the past, we've gotten a long one. Well, what we've done is eat half of it before the guests arrive and give them the rest of that. So this, lately we've been trying to get the smaller one so we would make ourselves wait and break bread with our guests. Jen's grandmother, one of her great dishes was dilly bread. Some of you probably made dilly bread or banana bread or zucchini bread or these kinds of things. Restaurants, some restaurants will ask when you come in to order your meal, would you like bread with that? And Jan and I always say before we go, we're not going to say yes to the bread. And then we always say yes to the bread. For many people around the world, bread is an essential food of life. And the Latin word for breaking bread is companere, from which we get the word companion. This past evening, we were with a small gathering of people from all around the world, different cultures. And one of the members of our church said this, what we all felt. When you break bread together, cultural barriers break down. I wish the world could sit down to bread and table together. Some of our cultural barriers would come down. And this last quote is from the master baker. Shares about the history of bread. Bread has always been the center of meals throughout history. It's a food source. It's a nutrient. But in a larger sense, it's a way to bring the community together in a way that other foods aren't shared. Bread is usually something that is broken and shared. And so when Jesus sees this very large crowd, he becomes concerned about both dimensions of life, both their physical needs and their spiritual needs, as every follower of Jesus ought to be concerned about both physical and spiritual needs of others. How to feed so many. It's also how to help people connect deeply with God and to satisfy the overwhelming spiritual hunger that all of us everywhere have. So much of our rhetoric, and particularly in campaigning, I'm afraid, can easily turn off people from seeking the bread underneath the rhetoric. So he turns to Philip and said, "You're from here. What do you think?" Philip is like me sometimes. I suffer sometimes from amnesia. I forget what Jesus has just done. I forget the miracles. I forget that he's from God. Or I get overwhelmed by the immediate situation, focused on the impossibility of what's there rather than what God could do. And then he turns to Andrew, and Andrew says, "Hey, I've got this young child here who has a basket. I don't know, but Jesus, maybe you can do something with that." And then the children came, and now the children are coming, and Brandon and his twin sister Audrey Quirk are coming, and I've recruited them. And they're bringing a basket of 5 loaves of bread. And I want you to picture yourself as one of the 5,000. And you see these children bring the bread up to Jesus. "Thank you. You're going to set it right over here, Brandon. And you're going to say, 'I wonder what could happen with that.' Brandon and Audrey, when you want to give them a hand, thank you for coming up. You can go down now. Brandon and Audrey Quirk, we've watched you grow up here." And then you see Jesus do something with that bread. And he blesses it and he multiplies it. And you and I today, can envision us as those children, and we come to Jesus and say, "Here I am. Here's my basket. I turn myself back over to you. I don't know what the next stages are of our lives." Jan and I were talking about this yesterday, and I said, "You know, I think the next phase of our lives, it's like us saying, 'God, here's our basket. Whatever, we want to be available for whatever you want to do.'" And in a real way, in my prayer time lately, I've pictured Trinity as a basket of bread. And, you know, you're the basket and God is God. And I've only had my hands a little bit on the handle. But I'm releasing it and say, "God, take this basket and all the wonderful things we've done in the past, multiply it. Multiply it for the good of your people here and around the world." Notice what Jesus did not do. He did not just create manna from heaven. He didn't just create bread out of nothing. He took what the children offered him. And always he takes that divine human combination. He takes what you and I give of him. It's this divine touch. I'm daring to believe because I've seen it. Whenever we offer ourselves and our gifts and our baskets to God, miracles happen. As Reverend David Allen said this past Wednesday night, he reminded us in his alliterative way, Jesus is the precious one, the priceless one, the perfect one, the powerful one. As he offered thanks and the bread multiplied. So, would you pray with me? God, we are right here with you on that mountainside. Some of us are like me, and I look at those children with credulity, thinking, oh my word, what can happen with that little tiny basket of bread? And then you do your amazing work. And then I'm going to try to remember that, God, in the future. And there are others like Andrew who have this spark of faith, and I just pray that you'll fan that, and that each of us, whatever we're facing right today, whatever we're facing, with our lives, our children, our grandchildren, whatever it might be, it's like our basket and we give it to you in childlike faith. And we pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. I'd like to, I've written a liturgy for today. Communion liturgy, it's a little different. So I invite you to follow along as it comes on the screen. You are there, aren't you, on that mountainside? Yes, we are among the 5,000 hungry for bread. You see the youth in a basket of bread and wonder, what could so little do for so many? Jesus welcomes the child and receives the gift as he does all our gifts humbly given. And then Jesus lifts the bread and gives thanks. And we fall into silent wonder and overwhelming awe as we witness a miracle. Now, ushers, would you make your way to the front? And Aaron and Lenora, would you bring the cups to the persons, and each of you ushers, if you'll grab a basket of bread, we're going to pass this out. But continue with me, would you? We see our Lord Jesus, who came into the world to bring us true life, who welcomed the poor and outcast, who gave sight to the blind and healing to the broken and brokenhearted. He fed the hungry and ate with sinners. Jesus took to himself the brokenness of the world and conquered even death itself and rose in glorious victory. This same Jesus offers us forgiveness of our sins and food for our souls, even the very bread of life and the cup of salvation. We see him as he lifts the bread and gives thanks and gives it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is the very bread of life for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We are there with him in the upper room as he takes the cup and gives thanks and says, drink from this, for this cup is eternal life for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And so we come today physically and spiritually hungry and humbly ask to receive the bread of life, the manna from heaven. We hear Jesus anew when he says, whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the holy sacrament of our spiritual food, that we may be true followers of Jesus, bringing our baskets of loaves and fish to a needy and hungry world, and allow the miracle of God to happen again and again here in Gainesville and around the world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Ushers, would you take the bread and to each one? And would you join as Alice leads you in the singing of our communion hymn.
Come to the feast of heaven and earth. Come to the table of plenty. God will provide. Saints and sinners
Before you receive the bread, let me just say that, as you can tell, it's larger than you normally receive. And that's by design. And we want you to, want all of us to know that His grace is plentiful. And so I'm going to talk you through as you receive it before Aaron blesses the cup. So take this and hear me say as you do. And I want you to place yourself there on the side of the mountain by the Sea of Galilee. You're one of the thousands. Or maybe in your bedroom or your prayer room. And whatever your need is, I want you to feel the fullness of His presence, the fullness of His power, to be God for you in ways that you maybe cannot even imagine. And then I'd like you to be imagining yourself presenting your basket, your life, the next day, the next year, the next many years, to God, and say, "Here I am, God. Do with me as you choose." Gracious God, we give you thanks for the gift of life itself. You who are the bread of life, we believe you and trust you when you say to us, "Whoever eats of this bread will never hunger nor thirst." bring us back again and again to the source of all life. And send those roots deep into the ground. We pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we do the benediction, okay, take somebody's hand. While you do that, I failed to recognize Kay Walker here in the front. Kay is a key player in the Stephen ministry. I didn't see you there, Kay. Thank you. If you ever want to learn more about it, Kay is one of the persons you should contact. Receive the benediction, would you? Now may the wonderful love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus, and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.
May God's blessings surround you each day as you trust Him and walk in His way. May His presence within guard and keep you from sin. Go in peace, go in joy.